finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
From Australia to Sri Lanka to India, from one test series to another, from India versus Australia to England versus Sri Lanka to now India versus England, with the eyes firmly set on the World Test Championship. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot, the cricket podcast. As always, I am your host, sports journalist and broadcaster Chetan Narula, and we'll be talking about all things India versus England today as we look ahead to what promises to be a mega series. And joining me, as always, two special guests. First of them, of course, former Indian cricketer and now broadcaster, and he will be covering the India-England series from Chennai, at least, which is turning out to be quite a privilege now. I introduce once again Deep Das Gupta. Hello, Deep. How you been? How's Chennai treating you?
Well, third day of quarantine. Nah, can't complain. It's all good.
It's your second quarantine, isn't it? The first one was in IPL. How's this one in comparison to the Dubai one?
It's the same. I'm just loving it, actually. Finishing off all pending work, getting to speak to a lot of people I haven't spoken to in a while, and a lot of downtime.
And as always, talking a lot about cricket and welcoming once again back to Hotspot. The last time we had him was some time ago when we looked ahead to the India-Australia series. We looked ahead to what a cracker series it was going to be. It did turn out to be the cracker series that we expected, but in a bit of a different way. We expected it to be Virat Kohli versus Steve Smith. Virat Kohli went home on paternity leave, but then Steve Smith was there, but he countered a very, very different India, and to give all his opinion about that and how he viewed that series, as well as the England Sri Lanka and how he sees this series upcoming, we welcome once again the editor of Wisden, Lawrence Booth, all the way from London. How are you, Lawrence? How's it going for you in the UK?
I'm fine, thanks, Chetan. Thanks for having me. It's we're in our third lockdown here. Just one lockdown after another, so I've just been spending most of the last year in room, really, reading books and trying to look after my two little ones. But no, it's been fine. We're surviving.
Yeah, it's good to hear that, we are all surviving in a way, but it's a bit depressing as well, because we are here to talk about cricket, so much exciting cricket, but all we are starting off with is quarantines and isolations and lockdowns. So let's just try and turn the mood around a bit. Your first opinion, Lawrence, in terms of how you saw the India-Australia series. As I mentioned, we had discussed about it being a cracker series. A lot of people have mentioned in regards with the 2005 Ashes as one of the top test series. How do you see it? How will Wisden see it?
Well, I think the question we're asking is it the greatest comeback of all time? Is it the greatest series of all time? The 2005 Ashes is the obvious point of comparison. They were slightly different in as much as that 2005 Ashes, after the first test, which Australia won at a canter, each of the next four games was a classic in its own way. And they were all close. Now, the Australia-India series was almost in a different genre because India were falling apart, weren't they? They were all out for 36 in the first test. Their captain goes home for paternity leave. Everyone's getting injured. By the time they get to the fourth test, they've got almost a third string attack out. They did it away from home against a team that hadn't lost at the Gabba since the late 1980s. I think they're almost in different categories. England-Australia was a classic all-time series with two teams going head-to-head. India-Australia was probably the greatest comeback of all time, the most unexpected comeback. So it was received brilliantly over here in England. And we always like to see Australia lose, of course. But we especially loved seeing this young, youthful Indian side, players who wouldn't have got a chance had the first string players all been fit and available. And it said a lot about the depth of Indian cricket. That was quite scary for the rest of the world, actually. This could be a glimpse into the future where we see India getting their act together, using all the resources at their disposal and kicking the rest of the world butts in all formats.
And then, of course, you have the fact that England are travelling to India next. It's not always been a happy journey for England. Last time around, 4-0 out of 5 test matches. How do you see, what's your first thought about, England's challenge to India in Indian conditions?
Well, thank goodness it's not a five-test series. I think that was the original plan, wasn't it? It's only four tests now. Look, it's the toughest gig in world cricket now, isn't it? I mean, going to Sri Lanka is quite tough for the kind of Western teams, if you like, playing on those turning pitches. And England did pretty well to win 2-0. That will give them a bit of confidence going into the Indies series. Joe Root is back to something like his best, and he'll need to be against India. He'll have to match Kohli, really, of England to have the slightest chance. But the problem is England's spinners are inexperienced, and it's going to be asking a lot of Jack Leach and Don Bess. Don't forget Moeen Ali, though he hasn't played Test cricket for 18 months, but it's going to be asking a lot of those three to match India, even with Jadeja injured. Ashwin is a giant in home conditions. I'd be astonished if it's anything other than a comfortable India win, but let's see.
Well, we sort of took a break from Hotspot after the magnificent India Australia series. It was just too much for all of us, 5 a.m. starts and everything. But we feel that the India Australia series, we agree with Lawrence, probably the greatest comeback of all time, probably the greatest Indian series, probably the greatest Indian win or Test series win ever. Deep and I had a couple of phone conversations regarding that. Deep, we discussed it was a testament to, as Lawrence pointed out, the cricket structure in place in India, the Ranji Trophy, the IPL, the India A Tours, all of it coming together, providing that bench strength so that they could go on and win in Australia. Like Lawrence mentioned, winning at Gabba, Washington Sundar, who's not played first-class cricket, just the IPL product, going there, hooking Pat Cummins for a six in the last hour of the test match. It doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't. And most importantly, as rightly put, it's a testament to how good or how robust the Indian structure is. Ranji Trophy, A-levels, IPL, everything put together. And also the mindset. Think about someone like a Shubman Gill, his first away series to Australia, and he wins it. Rishabh Pant, one of the main guys who won the series for India. So the new generation, they're starting off their careers with an absolutely amazing win. So that just, I guess, changes your mindset as a youngster going into Australia against all odds, you winning a Test series. And a lot of youngsters there. Washington Sundar, what a story. He hasn't played, again, I think the last time he played a first-class game was 2017, which is about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, something like that. Someone like Washington Sundar, even Tamil Nadu doesn't play him in red ball cricket. So obviously, that just tells you a lot about the new generation, the next generation. And that's only good for Indian cricket, because a lot of the older lot will be pushed now. So this is a big, big series. I'm telling you, this is a big series for quite a few. The next 6 months, let's put it this way, not just this series, India traveling to England again is going to be huge for a lot of senior cricketers.
Well, we did ask Lawrence about his views on India-Australia. We should also talk about England versus Sri Lanka, because England traveling to Sri Lanka, it was a tour which was postponed last year because of the pandemic. Now they've gone back again, stayed in a bubble, played in Galle. We talk about Gabba being the fortress for Australia. Galle is a fortress for Sri Lanka, although Sri Lanka over the years have been a much depleted side. England going there, their spinners, Joe Root in terrific form, but their spinners took the cake, Dom Bess and Jack Leach. What did you make of that, Deep?
Jack Leach is consistent. He's fine. But Dom Bess, obviously inexperienced, as Lawrence mentioned before, that's a big thing. I personally think England might go in with three spinners, including Moeen Ali. The kind of record that Moeen has against India, obviously he can bat as well. So that's going to be interesting. But that experience might. And Dom Bess picked up 5 for there, but did he bowl well? I'm not too sure whether he really did bowl well or not. So I'm not going to go in with the numbers that they've got, but I'm just going to look at the performances. And I thought Jack Leach consistent, Dom Bess a little up and down. It's going to be interesting.
We'll talk about,
the tricky part is this, that what you're going to offer, because if you look at the pace attack, the English pace attack, you got Anderson, Broad and Jofra Archer there. So you're not looking at quick green tops or whatever, which India has provided actually against South Africa, a couple of those test matches on grassy surfaces. So that's out of the question. You don't want to give a rank turner and kind of make things even out things as far as quality with the spinners are concerned. So that's an interesting thing. And now that Bairstow would be back for the second test match, you've got Bairstow, Joe Root, Ben Stokes. They play spin really well. So, you know, that just, you know, makes things that much more interesting right now with this, with the series.
Lawrence, your first thoughts on England winning in Sri Lanka? Did you, yes, Joe Root is back in form. Yes, your spinners picked up wickets, but did you really see it happening 2-0 the way it happened? Sri Lanka, I don't want to take anything away from England, but sometimes it just seemed that Sri Lanka were just not interested in batting out sessions or batting out days.
Yeah, they're not the team they were. They, you know, they have one world-class batsman now in Angelo Matthews, Chandimal, pretty useful player, but there's no Sangakkara, there's no Jai Wardner. The bowling attack is Embledenya's a promising guy, but there's, you know, there's no Murali, there's no Herat, there's no Vass. It is a different side. I mean, England won 3-0 there at the end of 2018 and played pretty well. So they went there with a certain degree of confidence. Root's sweeping was world class. I mean, if he can replicate that against Ashwin, that's going to be fascinating. Actually, going to be a really intriguing battle to see how Ashwin deals with him, and no doubt he's got some plans for him. I think what it did was it gave them a bit of confidence. There are problems in the England team, clearly. I mean, Zach Crawley had four failures out of four at the top of the order. Sibley had three and then got that nice little 50 to complete the run chase at the end. The bowling attack will be interesting. You know, Deep mentioned Broad and Anderson. They both look sensational in those conditions. I think they had, between them, took something like 6 for 80 off 50 overs in a series, or 9 for 80, I should say, because Broad took 3, then Anderson 6. The question English cricket's asking itself is, can you play both of them together overseas, especially with an Ashes coming up at the end of the year, and the English cricket's obsessed with the Ashes, they're always planning for that. My thought is that the way they bowled in Sri Lanka, play them both against India in the first test. You know, hit India with the strongest team. They're very hard to score off now. They're so experienced that they bowl really well in conditions that don't help them. They know how to keep it tight, even if they're not taking wickets. And I think that'll be very interesting to see. If there's any help in the pitch, they'll find it. Well, England have a chance. If conditions go their way and a bit of luck goes their way. They did get a lot of luck in Sri Lanka because, as you said, Sri Lanka batted absolutely terribly on the first day of the series and then pretty poorly in the third innings of the second test. So really, two of their four innings they gave away to England, and Best burgled a 5 for 30 in the first test. It was probably the cheapest 5 from test history. I mean, there were two reverse sweeps to slip. There was a ricochet off short leg's ankle. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong did. So I agree with Deep about Best. Leach is going to be an interesting one because India's top five are all right-handers. And if he can, when he goes over the wicket, around the wicket, I should say, and he sets up LBWs or catches to slip, that's how he's going to attack. He was talking to Ashley Giles, who famously went stayed over the wicket to Sachin and got him stumped for the only time in his test career. But Leach doesn't like that angle of attack. He prefers to keep all the options of dismissal. And if he's accurate, he won't be easy to hit. So look, I'm grasping at straws here for England. And there are some straws to grasp at. I just think that the odds and the history and the form probably suggest India.
Well, there's so many aspects here we have mentioned already. We have talked about England's spin attack. We've talked about Joe Root versus Ashwin. Somebody mentioned Virat Kohli, you know, the kind of runs that Joe Root needs to match up. We've already spoken about Anderson, Broad. Should they play together? So too many aspects. But I think if we take them one by one, it's going to take, you know, entire 2-3 days. But let's just hit upon the major battles here. Deep. Obviously, we'll come to Joe Root versus Ashwin and Virat Kohli versus the English bowlers. James Anderson, however many test matches he plays, will definitely play the pink ball test. But it is a battle of English spinners versus Indian batsmen. I mean, you mentioned the fact that Dom Bess isn't as consistent. Lawrence mentioned the attacking angles that Jack Leach might want to engage. But at the end of the day, it comes to how effective those spinners are going to be against the Indian batsmen. You have the likes of Rohit Sharma, you have the likes of Shubman Gill. If they get set, they take on spinners. Pujara, in home conditions, he takes on spinners. Virat Kohli in a different class altogether against spin. So that's just India's top four batsmen.
Yes, but also the Indian middle order has struggled against spin. Let's not forget that. It's easy to say, and going by history and all, we'd say, okay, subcontinental batsmen are good against spin. But if you actually see last few years, and I'm talking about, but against obviously quality spin, and that's where I think it's going to be important. Jack Leach, as I mentioned, I mean, only thing I want to see is what pace he bowls. He can do what Jadeja does for India. He's very consistent, bowls that line, gets a lot of natural variation off the surface. You know, that I think something will, that will help the leg before, and one of them might turn. So that becomes very, very interesting. So Jack Leach is one guy you can depend on, you can bank on here, at least to keep it nice and tight. But who is your attacking bowler? That's going to be very, very important. So are your seam bowlers going to be attacking bowlers? And that's for the English team management to figure that out. For me, I think that's where I think Moeen Ali becomes that much more important. In the scheme of things, I know, as Lawrence mentioned, that he hasn't played a lot of test cricket, but 18 months or whatever. But you know, you still have that space there at number seven, if I'm not wrong, number seven, I think, batting, where he can bat. And obviously that off spin, I mean, and there's a psychological thing. When you look at someone like Pujara, he's got Pujara out a few times, he's got Virat out a few times, Ajinkya struggled against off spin. And especially Indian batsmen against off spin the record, if you look at it, isn't that great. And that's where I think someone like Moeen and his experience in playing in India as well. He spent a lot of time during the IPL and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm very tempted to go with two seamers and three of them.
Lawrence, Deep mentioned about Moeen.
Obviously, you have Ben Stokes. Sorry, so it
yeah,
becomes.
Yeah, we will come to the Ben Stokes factor in just a bit. Lawrence, Deep mentioned Moeen there. Yesterday, I was just doing some bit of research on the English spinners. Moeen Ali has played 60 test matches. 60. That's a lot of test matches for Moeen Ali. He's not played since August 2019. There was a bit of a gap before that as well in his test career. That's a lot of test matches for someone who's not been a regular spinner, somebody who is not an out-and-out spinner, somebody who's part of a team that plays with a predominantly pace attack. What do you make of Moeen Ali, 60 test matches, and where do you see him going from here? Is he the guy that England will depend on in this series? And if it doesn't work out for him, is that the end for Moeen Ali?
Yeah, you're right. 60 does seem a lot for him. He's got 181 test wickets. I mean, he was talking the other day about wanting to get 200 test wickets. You know, wow, when did all that happen? Moeen's big problem is his confidence. And Graham Swann has spoken about this in the last few days. One of Swann's great strengths was that he believed in himself. And he believes that Moeen doesn't believe in himself. And that has been a problem. It's part of the reason Moeen stepped away from test cricket after he was dropped after the first Ashes test in 2019. He kind of fell out of love with Red Bull cricket. Will he start the series? It's an interesting one because Bess is the off spinner in the team at the moment. No matter whether he got lucky in Sri Lanka, the fact is he still had a fifer and a fourfer and helped bowl England to two victories out there. Don't forget that Joe Root bowls off spin as well. So I don't think they're going to. I don't think they'll play Moeen, Bess, and Leach in the same team, because they don't need three off spinners. They'll pick two spinners probably plus Root, and the question is whether it'll be Moeen or Bess. And if it is a toss up between those two, you're probably sticking with Bess at the moment, simply because Moeen has had no game time. Don't forget he spent most of the Sri Lanka tour in his hotel room with COVID, so his body is still recovering to a degree. And also don't forget that when England last went to India, he averaged 65 with the ball. You know, he's got a good record against India in England. Weirdly, yeah. You'd have thought that the record would be better on pitches that help him more. But he doesn't have a great record in India. And that leads us to a further point, which is, and it was touched upon earlier by Deep, the pitches that India should provide. Now, if I'm hosting England in any test series, I want a flat pitch. It's as simple as that. And India made the mistake in 2012-13, you remember, when England visited, they thrashed them in the first test at Ahmedabad, and Dhoni got giddy. He said, let's produce turners. And Swann brought Swann and Panesar into the game, and England famously won. The way to beat England at home is to do flat pitches. Do you remember the last time England were there? They got 400 at Mohali and lost by an innings. They got 450 at Chennai and lost by an innings. That's what you do. So neuter all of England's bowlers. And trust the fact that Indian batsmen are much more used to going big than English batsmen. It's just a kind of cultural thing, partly because of the flat pitches in the Ranji Trophy. They know how to score triple hundreds. Karun Nair did it, and we've never heard from them again, have we? So there are traps that India have to, if India avoid falling into certain traps, they ought to win the series.
Deep, is it as much a battle of the middle orders as well? Because we mentioned the top four Indian batsmen. We'll come to the English top order as well. But in terms of the middle, where you have Moeen Ali, Ben Stokes, Chris Wokes, is he going to play? I mean, can you really fit him in when you have James Anderson and Jofra Archer and Stuart Broad in there, and you're playing in presumably flat tracks in India or flatter tracks in India? India also have a problem in the middle. You have Rishabh Pant, you have Hardik Pandya in the squad. Jadeja is not there. Washington Sundar is there. Saha is there. You don't really know what's going to happen there. Are they going to play four bowlers? Are they going to play five bowlers? How do you compare the two middle orders, Deep?
Listen, the middle orders, both the teams are really phenomenal, to be honest. And especially, I guess, I mean, I'm still can't get my head around this whole rotation policy with the batsmen.
Yeah.
Especially when the World Test Championship is at stake at this. Yeah. I mean, I do understand. I mean, see, the English players have gone from one bubble to the other starting from June, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So West Indies, Pakistan, IPL. So I understand that. I mean, it's tough.
South Africa.
South Africa, yeah. I mean, I mean, they've been in a bubble right through last 8-9 months. But, I mean, when you look at the importance of the Test series in comparison to the T20 series and the ODI, I'd rather have all my top batsmen. I mean, Bairstow, I mean, I think it's the second highest run get in Test match cricket last few years for England, yeah, after Chuhan. So, I mean, I would, and someone who dominates spin, he doesn't play spin well, he actually dominates spin. So, I would want Bairstow, Butler, Root, Ben Stokes in there at least for the first two Test matches and see where it goes. But yeah, I mean, thank God, Ben Stokes, I believe, is available for the second Test match now. So I think that's second, right? He's available, Lawrence, isn't it, for the second?
He's missing the first two Tests.
He's coming on from the third. No, he's coming on from the third.
Third, okay.
And Josh Butler goes home.
Okay, so I read somewhere that he might be available for the second, but anyways. So if you look at that middle order, that's like quality middle order. Joe Root, Ben Stokes, Butler / Bairstow. Because like I said, they play spin really well and all of them dominate spin. And that's very important. I mean, can you imagine if Joe Root does get the better of Ashwin on Indian tracks? I mean, then it becomes a different story. And they have the ability, and the English middle order, whether it's Ben Stokes, whether it's Joe Root, whether it's Butler, Bairstow, they can dominate. So I think, and Ben Fokes again, I mean, he's again a very good batsman against spin. So I think a lot of English batting will depend on the middle order, because if you look at the top three, I have my doubts with the top three, the English top three.
And if I have to push you to pick the Indian middle order, so Indian starting middle order, we have Rahane at number five, Kohli at number four. So after Rahane, if I have to push you, are you going to play with
Rishabh
four bowlers, five? Yeah, Rishabh at six.
Five.
Five bowlers? Yeah. Go ahead and pick up the team.
Rishabh at six for me. Rishabh at six, then seven, Washington / Akshar. Chancellor Akshar I'll go with. And then you have Ashwin at eight. Is a good enough batsman to bat at it, better than that. And then you have Kuldeep. I'm going to go with Kuldeep there. So Akshar, and then Ashwin, then Kuldeep, and Bumrah, and Siraj to start off with.
Not Ishant?
Ishant, I won't start with Ishant.
Okay, interesting there. You're not starting with Ishant. You're not considering Hardik.
No, I'm not. So because Hardik's not bowling, so I think Hardik being part of the squad is also for the team management and everyone else, the coaches and all, to monitor his bowling, because you need Hardik, the bowler, in English conditions. You need Hardik there, right? So you rather, because there's no red ball cricket right now in domestic cricket as well. So you rather have him with the team and prepare him for, you know, the World Test Championship India qualifies, and then the English tour, the big English tour as well. So that's that. And quickly, the reason I would want to play Siraj, because Siraj might be there with the white ball squad as well. So I'd rather play him now, and then, because I'm looking at rotating. The amount of cricket that the Indians are going to play in the next 6-8 months is insane. So you have Ishant, Umesh, Bumrah, Shami, Siraj, Navdeep, you would want to rotate them and keep them fit. And most of them actually do play all three formats. I mean, like Bumrah and Siraj and Navdeep, Shami is playing at least two formats now. So you've got to be a little careful with their workload.
interesting there that I thought Hardik could come in as a specialist batsman, but I do agree with you, Deep, that he could, he could be in the side to just being monitored, bring him up to speed in terms of bowling a bit. We saw him bowling just a bit in Australia, but there's, the ODIs and the T20 series against England as well. That's important too. Then the IPL, then the English tour, and not to forget the T20 World Cup. He brings a lot of balance to the Indian T20 side. But also interesting that you're going in with three spinners. Lawrence, I believe that also happened last time England were here. We had three spinners we in the Indian side, Ashwin, Jadeja. Sometimes it was Jayant Yadav. Other times you had some other spinner. They did play three spinners at times in the last series as well. How do you feel that strategy against the English lineup? And what's your opinion on the fact, yes, they've been in bubbles, but the World Test Championship on the line, Johnny Bairstow not in the side?
Yeah, let's go with that point first. It's kind of it's a fact of life now, unfortunately. We'd love to pick our best team all the time, but the fixture list that the administrators have landed their teams with makes it impossible. England have got 17 tests in this calendar year. They played two of them already. It'll be 18 by the time the Sydney test happens in early 2022. So effectively 18 tests in 12 months, plus a T20 World Cup. You've got to rest these guys, especially the all-format players. There's an IPL as well coming up. We've just had one, and there's another one coming. So how do you do it? It is unfortunate because, as Deep said, it means that Bairstow isn't playing, I think, at least probably two of the tests. Butler's going home after one test. That, for me, is the big one. Butler has started to look like a proper red ball player. He's got his tempo, and that's scary for opposition bowlers. He played beautifully in Sri Lanka and kept better than he ever has done. He even got a test stumping, which had never happened before. So England are... Yes, they're hobbling themselves to a degree, but it's they think it's the only way they're going to keep these guys fresh for a World 2020 and an Ashes, and they want to become the first team to hold the 50 over and the 20 over World Cup at the same time. They've got their eyes on that one, and they want the Ashes back like they always do. So, what do you do? Something has to give. In terms of the spinning policy, yeah, sure, the spinners are good enough. India need, without Jadeja, I think they do need a good left armer. Patel is a good bowler. You know, he'll bowl well in Indian conditions. Ashwin will do all sorts, and Kuldeep Yadav is the X factor in a way, isn't he? He bowled really well a couple of times in England before England sort of got the measure of him in the One Day series a couple of years back. But he'll be a handful, and they've got three guys then all doing different things, and that will. You saw in Sri Lanka, England do some of their players, the top order, do have problems against spin, and if Joe Root fails, then it could send sort of jitters through the camp. Stokes is a very good player, spins, sweeps well. But you know, as Deep says, with Bairstow and Butler not there for the whole series, that takes out one very good player of spin for most of the series. So play to your strengths, India. I mean, they say play to your strengths. Your fast bowling is pretty good at the moment, isn't it? But I think those three spinners will all do a good job.
Lawrence, quickly, if we can push you to pick the first test 11 for England, do you see James Anderson? You mentioned James Anderson and Stuart Broad should play together, hit them hardest, hit India hardest, catch them unawares. Might be tough given that they won in Australia. But again, pick your 11. Do you see it happening?
Possibly not, with Archer coming back. And don't forget that Wokes didn't play in Sri Lanka, so he's fit and raring to go, and is a good bowler, has improved overseas away from the home conditions. So you've got to stick with Sibley after his 50, give him another chance to prove he can do it against spin. Burns is coming back after paternity leave, but does he go straight in ahead of Crawley? That's a toss-up, to be honest. But if one of those... You could play both, so Crawley at 3, Root 4... Stokes 5, Ollie Pope comes into the mix. He's a good player. He's back after shoulder injury. Don't forget about him. Butler, Bairstow. I'm getting confused now. Bairstow's can play for one test. Bairstow's right. So Butler plays for one test. So he keeps wicket. And then bowling attack. I don't think they'll play Anderson and Broad. I think it'll be the two spinners, Bess and Leach, and then probably Broad because Anderson played the last game, and Jofra Archer. Is that 11?
Yeah, that's 11. Yeah, that's 11. 11, 12. There or thereabouts.
13, anyway.
Yeah. Deep, there's always this one factor that England have, one of the most mercurial all-rounders of all time, if you can say so, Ben Stokes. How big is he going to be a factor in this series? He has to bat, he has to bowl. He does well in India.
He does because, I mean, listen, he's a match winner. that's who he is. So, I mean, if he's getting 100 chances, I think England's in a good position. So that's how important Ben Stokes is with the bat and with the ball as well. See, because he boards a lot of these cutters and stuff like that, which becomes very, very important on subcontinental surfaces. The reason I think Stewart Broad on subcontinent conditions are a little more dangerous because he has that leg cutter and stuff like that. You know, he bowls a lot of cross seam. So on these surfaces, those are very, very useful. And Ben Stokes, with all the experience of playing, you know, T20 and IPL and all that, I mean, I think he's such an important cog in that wheel. And like I said, he's a match winner. He's a proper match winner.
Last few minutes of this episode. Lawrence, the final question to you. You mentioned at the top of the show, Joe Root's been sweeping well against Ashwin. That's the battle to watch out for. Virat, obviously, one of the key batsmen for India. Rohit Sharma at the top of the order. He's done well against South Africa. Shubman Gill. It's a completely restructured Indian top order. But if you have to pick one batsman, who's it going to be? And what is the key battle that you see, the two key battles? You mentioned Root and Ashwin. What is the other key battle?
Well, if England can stop Pujara bedding in for bed and breakfast, like he tends to, then they've got a chance. If Pujara eats up 1,000 deliveries across 4 tests, which he's perfectly capable of doing, England are going to struggle because the others play around him. Did he face 928 deliveries in Australia?
Yeah.
And that was after the first 2 tests, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You go back 2 years and he faced about 1,200 deliveries. It was something ridiculous. So. Yeah. That guy is incredible, and he takes a battering as well, doesn't he? He was a punch bag in the last test for the Australian fast bowlers. If England could get an early wicket and then get Pujara with the new ball, they've got a chance. If Pujara knuckles down, and by the time, you know, the pants coming in, it's 300 for 4, then forget about it. But so I think Pujara could be the... Interestingly, the one chink in his game, I think, is against off-spin, Pujara. I don't think he played Lyon that well, even though Lyon only took 9 wickets at 55 in the series that's just happened. Pujara sometimes gets into a weird tangle against him. He goes down the track. He plays shots that he doesn't need to. The short leg comes into play. So despite everything we've just said in the last half hour, maybe Dom Bess v. Chiteshwar Pujara is the key battle for this series. You heard it here first.
But on a serious note, what Lawrence is mentioning is so important because the Indian middle order has not played off spin well. If you look at all the successful spinners, they've been off spinners, whether it's Moeen Ali, whether it's Nathan Lyon. Obviously, Nathan Lyon quality is different, but if Dom Bess can get his act right here, he can be very big. And most importantly, second innings, day 3, day 4, day 5, the pitches will start turning, irrespective of how flat they are. And an off-spinner against a right-hander can always be dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's an important aspect as far as England is concerned.
Right. As always, whenever two brilliant test teams come up against each other, there's just so many aspects, there's so many intriguing aspects which can turn not just a session, but also the match, the entire series. And, well, that's what we'll be hoping for. We've had 2 cracker test series, whether in Sri Lanka or in Australia. We're hoping for a third one now. And it becomes really important because the Australian tour of South Africa has just been cancelled as this show was being recorded. So it means that Australia are probably out of the World Test Championship. New Zealand become the finalists, and one of England and India will play them in the final. So it's almost like, you know, whoever wins it takes it. India need a 2-0 win. England perhaps need a 3-0 or a 3-1. Not easy task, but it will keep us on our tenterhooks. Well, that's about it from this episode of Hotspot. We'd like to thank Lawrence Booth for taking out time and joining us. Thanks, Lawrence. And Deep, thanks to you as well for taking time and joining on this episode. Well, you can hear this episode on all your regular platforms, JioSaavn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube as well. We'll be coming to you throughout the series and bringing you all the different aspects of India versus England. Here's hoping for a cracker series. Until next time, it's goodbye. Take care.
Finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.